This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, it's hard to think of anything more important than food, isn't it, really? It's pretty much at the heart of our lives. We are literally what we eat. If it's good food, it keeps us healthy and allows us to be active and productive. Brings us pleasure as well when it tastes good and, you know, brings families and friends together. But food has a darker side too. Many people sadly struggle to afford good food, even though sometimes they might even live in the middle of countryside that produces an abundance of food. Or even if affordability is less of an issue, knowing how to create healthy food from scratch is pretty hard if you've not had the opportunity to learn. And in a world of disinformation, sometimes even hard to know what a healthy diet looks like. And the production, transportation, and processing of food, well, that's got a huge impact on land, climate, wildlife, water supply, as well as sometimes being associated with really low-wage work or even slavery. And added to that, well, the recent closure of the Straits of Hormuz has suddenly highlighted how very fragile our food supply is, with us dependent on food and fertiliser for our food coming from all over the world. Add to that crop failures becoming increasingly common due to climate change and, well, our food supply is starting to look really quite shaky, isn't it? So there's lots of ways in which doing food better would help both us and the environment. And you might remember that I previously on Environment Matters spoke to Tony Elkington, who was leading workshops with Hertfordshire food stakeholders to start the search for ideas for change, ways in which we could do food better. And the project Tony is leading is called Food Futuring and was enabled by the Institute of Creative Futures at Loughborough University. Last time I spoke to Tony, he wanted our ideas and now he wants our help. Again. Tony, great to have you back with me today. So the last time we spoke about food, you were embarking on some food futuring. Could we just have a little recap and tell us what you're up to?
Yeah, thanks, Amanda. Good to be back. So Food Futuring is a food system collective visioning project, which is bringing together stakeholders from all across Hertfordshire to imagine a healthy, fair and resilient local food system. And so we've been working with a cohort of around 30 to 35 people, which includes farmers, community growers, restaurant owners, nutritionists, food banks and food support services, council officers, academics. So a really broad range of people that try and represent as many different aspects of the local food system as we can. And we've been going through this journey of looking at the current state of the food system, how it works at the moment, what is working, what isn't working, what would we like to change. We've then started now, we'll get onto this, but we've been looking at what do we want the future to look like, what is our shared vision that we would like to move towards. And then what we're getting to in the project, our next steps is saying, okay, now that we have some sort of vision, what do we want to do? What can we do together to move us in that direction? And so really it's a project that is trying to increase collaboration towards transforming the food system through having this shared vision of what we want the future to look like.
Okay. So when we spoke last, you had an open survey and you wanted us to give our ideas and comments about food and how we thought it could be better. How did that go?
Yeah, so we had this survey basically trying to invite people from all across Hertfordshire to help us open up this conversation about what is our vision for the future. And so we had this online platform, sort of a forum format, where people could share their ideas and suggestions for how we could move in the direction of a healthy, fair and resilient food system. And then people could vote whether they agreed or disagreed with other people's suggestions. And so through doing that process, we were able to see which ideas were really popular, which ideas were maybe more divisive. And so we ended up getting, I think, almost 100 statements across, or vision statements across that survey, spanning a broad range of things from kind of local food production, you know, encouraging more local people to grow their own food, giving them access to land, helping farmers and growers to access local markets so that they can actually grow for their local communities instead of for sort of global markets. There were conversations around using public procurement as a sort of way to buy locally produced food and provide that guaranteed demand so that farmers can start growing different things or growing things for consumption in our area. There were all sorts of ideas about farming practices, moving to regenerative farming, helping farmers transition with the training, the funding and that kind of thing that they need to be able to do that. Lots of points about supermarkets and how their role could shift so that they are sort of stocking local produce, contributing to the local economy, reducing their waste. So it was really far ranging. There's, you know, lots of places that that went. But basically the purpose of that survey was to provide us with lots of starting points and inspiration for the workshop that we had in April with this cohort of about 30 food system stakeholders. And so the survey provided the starting point for that in-person conversation to happen and fed into the creation of a shared vision that we produced during that workshop.
Okay, well, you've just told us all of those diverse people you have, all of those stakeholders, and frankly, I'd be amazed if you got them to agree on anything. So that sounds pretty good. So you've actually got the farmers and the restaurant holders and the community growers and things all to agree on some steps that, or some vision that they think that we should take forward. Have you got some highlights from that? Can you just give us roughly what it was that they agreed on?
Yeah, for sure. And I think you made a really key distinction there, is I think a lot of people potentially disagree on solutions and how we get there and specific steps. And that, I think that's the real value of visioning, is actually most people, when you talk to them, have a very similar vision of the future and the goals that they want to achieve, the priorities they have, the values that they have. And so there is so much common ground between these different parts of the food system on what we want to achieve. And actually starting with a vision of where do we want to get to is a really good way to find that common ground. And what we're going to do next is the figure out how we get there. And that may be more challenging to find agreement on that. But it sort of, you can build the relationships, open the conversations by establishing what the common ground is in where we're trying to go to. But I can definitely kind of talk through some key points of the vision that emerged. So we've sort of created what we're saying is a draft vision. We'll talk about this in a second, but we definitely want to invite people outside of that workshop group to help us refine and finalize it. But basically the vision that we've created together is kind of captured by six key sections, and each section has a few vision sort of statements that help illustrate those sections. The key sections are looking at healthy and engaged people. So this is about our nutritious diets, our connection with where food comes from, greater education in growing and cooking and nutrition, the affordability of food and the sort of support services around that. The second section is connected and thriving communities. So this is about feeling connected to each other, knowing our local food producers, cooking and eating and celebrating food together, more people being involved in food production. The third section is nourishing and accessible neighbourhoods. So this is about these mixed-use spaces, making food available and space for growing available in our towns, in our cities, you know, maybe even edible sidewalks and streets where things are growing that you can forage, and how land is used. The fourth section is about sustainable and innovative farming. So this is about farmers being stewards of soil, water, habitats and biodiversity, shifting their practices, adapting to sort of the changes in climate that we're expecting and that we're already seeing. The fifth section is about local and resilient supply chains. So this is about meeting Hertfordshire's food needs through local producers, reintroducing or re-establishing local processing facilities like mills and abattoirs and dairies and things that would be needed for locally produced ingredients to be used and consumed here, and that kind of thing. And then the final section is about inclusive and impactful collaboration. So this is about, you know, food co-ops, about food redistribution networks, about county level partnerships and local networks, and effectively a continuation of what we've started here of more joined up thinking and seeing the food system as interconnected and planning to approach it in that way.
Yeah, so you really have looked at every part of the food system there. It's not just about how food is grown, but very much our interaction with food, how we communicate with each other about it, what we know about it. So yes, that sounds very wide-reaching. So you now want us to feed in again?
Yes, please. Please do. So, yes, we're aware now that this draft vision has been created with the input of the previous survey, but in a room effectively of about 30 people. And so we want to make sure that before we formalise this vision, that it definitely does represent the sort of diverse people and perspectives of communities across Hertfordshire. And so there is another survey now where we basically have this draft vision there that you can read in detail, and there's an opportunity for you to say, you know, which bits feel really important to you, which bits matter to you and why, and also to suggest if anything should be changed or added, if anything important is missing. So yeah, we would love for people to take part in that and effectively help us make sure that this vision that we're using as a sort of line in the sand and a jumping off point for action is representative of what people actually want.
Lovely. And after that, you're going to get back together and produce the final version of the vision?
So, yeah, the vision will be finalised through the course of this survey, and we will be getting back together in June with our workshop cohort. But the focus of that workshop will be to say, OK, now we have this vision, what are we going to do next? What can we do together as the stakeholders in this room, the networks that we represent? What projects or experiments or initiatives or partnerships could we initiate that would start to move us in the direction of this vision and make it a reality?
Right, wonderful. So that sounds like the rolling your sleeves up stage.
Exactly.
So you'll be coming back to us then looking for lots of involvement, I imagine.
I do hope so, yeah. So the funding that we've received, it's funded by an academic research grant, is for this visioning process. And so after this third workshop where we explore what we want to do next, that is technically the end of the funding that we have. But I really see this as just the beginning, not the end. This whole project has been designed as a springboard for potentially a Hertfordshire food partnership to continue these collaborations, for various projects to spin out, and maybe they're self-standing, or maybe they need to go for additional fundraising. But I would love to support any and all projects from people that have been involved in these workshops or not, to kind of plug into this vision and use it as a jumping off point for doing all sorts of stuff. And the more I've looked, the more incredible stuff that I've found that is already happening. And so a lot of this is not about doing new things. It's about making the things that are already happening more visible, connecting them in with other people. And so I would love for this vision and the partnership that is emerging to just be accelerator for all of that good stuff.
Marvellous. Tony, thank you so much for telling us about that today.
Thanks, Amanda.
I was talking there to Tony Elkington of Food Futuring. Now, to find out the latest survey that Tony would like our help with, go to foodfuturing.com and click on the scrolling banner across the top of the page. It's nice and easy to find. And I'll put the link into the notes that go with the podcast of this show. And it's also easy to find on the podcast page of mix926.com. Now, I've taken a look at the survey. Oh, wow. Tony and the food futurists have been really hard at work and produced, well, some really quite exciting and inspiring ideas. Now, you could just answer the 6 questions that they ask you in a few minutes, but there's also plenty of opportunity to add your own ideas and comments if you have more time. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the final food vision for Hertfordshire they produce and the actions and projects that result from it. So would you like to hear more about sustainability issues surrounding food here on Environment Matters? Perhaps you'd like to tell us about a project that you're involved in that's trying to address the problem. Well, do let me know via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Facebook. Now, if you wanted to get started enjoying some locally produced food and drink, then the Harts County Show at the Harts Showground near Redbourne is coming up on the 23rd and 24th of May and boasts a whole eat and drink local section, which they say is a paradise for foodies and drink lovers, showcasing the county's finest independent breweries and cider makers and artisan food producers. Sounds good, doesn't it? And in case you didn't realise it, the Harts County Show itself has its roots not in monster trucks or live music, but it started out in 1801 and it was set up with the aim of promoting farming and agriculture and all its associated skills, crafts, trades and professions. And it's still run by the Hertfordshire Agricultural Society and provides spades of all those connections that Tony was talking about between local producers and craftspeople and between us and them. Better still, we'll be there. Yes, Mix 92.6 will be there, so do come and say hello. We always love to see you. Now, this year, getting to the Harts Show couldn't be easier if you live in St Albans or indeed anywhere on the Thames Link train line. You don't have to join that huge traffic queue or spend 2 hours trying to find your car at the end of the day. Yeah, whoops, might have done that before. Now, this year, there's a complimentary bus service that's going to run between St Albans City Railway Station and the Hertfordshire County Showground. Services provided in partnership with Hertfordshire County Council, Arriva and the Hertfordshire Agricultural Society. Well, worth taking advantage of. And whilst we're talking about food, Mix 92.6 will also be at the St Albans Oaklands Foodie Festival, which is the following weekend. Now, sadly, I find no mention of local food there, but still promises to be a fun day out and a chance to, again, come and say hi to your favourite local radio station. Next week, we're going to be hearing about the Chalkstream Challenge, brilliant new resource to help you and the kids learn more about the River Ver during half term or whenever. Do join me then. In the meantime, thanks for listening.